2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Would you stand up just a minute? I want to look at verse number 1. I want to remind you of the verses. I'm going to read a little more than I normally do. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I preached on this Wednesday night. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, which means to know, of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty have abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power, and I like this, I bear record, and beyond their power. Somebody said, preacher, you're trying to get us to give 100%. No. We'll never get it done giving 100%. We're going to have to give 200%. You say, I ain't got but 100%. I know. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't do this mathematical problem if you leave God out of it. It ain't going to work. Okay? It ain't there. It ain't going to work. You're going to have God in this thing or nothing else. You say, you know, that's not practical, preacher. I don't know about practical, but they did it. They did it. You say, well, yeah, but they were rich. No, Bible says in the abundance, great affliction, trial of affliction, and I just read deep poverty. Deep poverty. That's pretty much that. Deep poverty. Bible says, yea, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Then we'll begin in verse number 8. Let's pray. Father, help us, I ask. Lord, you know all the things that are claiming our attention this morning. But Lord, I'm praying that you'd zero us in. Help us to focus now upon the Word of God. And Lord, may you use this scripture, Lord, to speak to our hearts and help us to be found faithful to your will for our lives in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. First six verses, and I didn't emphasize this, but we'd call that the example of real faith promise given by the churches of Macedonia. But now I want to do a little bit of an exposition. Look what the scripture says in verse number 7. He calls it that you abound in this grace. Amen. What grace? The grace of giving. Did you know there are different gifts? And there's some that have the gift of oration. There's some that have the gift of teaching, preaching. They're different gifts. But there's a gift of giving. Amen. There are people that I know that they've been their gift through the years. They just give. And they're never flashy about it. They don't want people to know about it. They just give. And man, I mean, they give till it hurts. And then they keep a giving till it gets to feeling better again. Hello?
Yes, sir.
When I was going through all that stuff with my neck, I'd get a knot in my neck. I mean, I'd get these knots all day. I've got stenosis of the spine. And the spinal canals that come out your neck where your arms come out and the nerves in your arms come out, they're closing up. And I got it all down my back, my whole spine, my whole back. Stenosis. Of course, I've had rods and surgery and all the things in the lower back. I've had surgery on my neck. And they want to do surgery again on my neck. I get these big old knots come up on my back. I'm talking about these Charlie horses. Hurt. Lord, I'm telling you, they hurt. And I'd get the boys. They couldn't even walk by me. I'd turn around and turn my back to them. And they knew what that meant. And they'd get in there and they'd start working on that knot. They'd find it. I'd have to say anything. They'd find it and they'd feel that knot and they'd go to working on it. It hurts. It's about tears come to my eyes. And I'd say, son, bear down. And they'd push. I said, well, as hard as I can push, preacher. I said, use your elbow. And they'd push me. And I'd say, hang on, let me get against the wall. And I'd stand against the door jamb. I said, now get your elbow and get in there and work that thing. And it was so bad, I'd holler. I mean, I couldn't stand it. But it hurt so good. You ever had it hurt so good? And I found out when they'd get in there and really get the digging in that thing, it'd be tears in my eyes. But if they could ever get in there and get it, son, it would loosen that thing up. And they would rub it till it got to feeling better. That's the way giving is. You got to get past the hurt. Say, well, I give till it hurts. No, you give till it feels better. There was a fella, his wife, she sued him for divorce, child support, and alimony, and won it. And he was trying to live for God, and he had just been saved a short time, and he just had a terrible time with it. And finally, one day he met with the preacher. He said, "Preacher, let me tell you something. I'm so bitter." He said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, I'm paying my ex-wife." And said, "I know she's seeing somebody else," and said, "I'm paying her every month out of my pocket." And he said, "I don't mind giving my child support to my children." He said, "But I hate supporting that woman." He said, "It makes me hate her. It makes me hate everything about it." And said, "I can't get right with God because I hate her so bad. What do I do about it?" He said, "Well, how much is she getting?" He said, "She's getting $500 a month alimony." He said, "Well, let me tell you how to fix it." He said, "This coming month, you have to write the check every month." He said, "Yeah, I write it every month." He said, "This coming month, I want you to give her $525. And the guy says, "Preacher, I just got through telling you I hate that woman. I hate giving her $500. I hate the judge that told me to do it. And here you are telling me to give her $525. Have you lost your mind, preacher? With all respect, I can't do that." He said, "Well, you asked me my opinion." He said, "I can't help you. That's what you're supposed to do." And he said, "Well," he said, "Well, I ain't doing that. I'll bet you that." The preacher said, "All right. You do what you want to." So he left. A week later, he said, "I need to talk to you." And he said, "Preacher, she don't deserve that $500. And preacher never said a word. And he got all his spiel out, and finally he said. He looked at him, and the preacher didn't say a word. He said, "I know, $525. And he walked out. Third week, he come in. He goes, "There's the check. But don't you ask me to do it next month." He said, "Well, I'm not going to ask you to give $525 next month. I'm going to ask you to give $550. He said, "Preacher, it's not possible. And since you go out to eat with some other man with it, I'm not doing that." He said, All right. Finally, after a serious thing, "Here it is, preacher, $550. His wife got so confused by him doing that she started texting him, and then she got to calling him. And then he took it to 600. And the next thing you know, they're out to supper. The next thing you know, they're back together. The grace of giving. It got him over that, the bitterness. It got her over. And their marriage was saved. You say, "Is there a grace in giving?" Oh, yeah, there's a grace in giving. You got a neighbor that's giving you a fit? Bless them. You say, I'll bless him, all right, I'll bless him. There was a woman come in and said the preacher said her old man was beating her. And she said, "What am I supposed to do?" He said, "Have you tried heaping coals of fire on his head?" She said, "No, but I've tried hot grease." You got somebody that's giving you a fit? Bless them. If nothing else, it'll confuse them so bad. They won't sleep a wink of worrying about what you're doing. It'll drive them crazy, all right? Especially if you got it out with somebody. Scripture says in chapter 8, verse number 7, "Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound also in this grace." What grace? The grace of giving. The grace of giving. He says in verse number 8, "I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others." He's using the gifts of the Macedonians as an introductory way to say to the Corinthian church, Boy, these folks are really giving. Hint, hint, hint. Boy, these folks are really doing something. Hint, hint, hint. Can I say it this way? I love to hear about other meetings and other things and God doing things, but Barb, I always want to be there. And it puts a yearning inside my soul. When I hear God really move somewhere, it puts a yearning inside of me. Oh, I want God to do that here. Boy, I wished I'd have been there for that. Boy, I wish, why couldn't I got in on that? Does it not do you that way? It does me that way. When I hear God's done something, man alive, I want to know about it. Tell me about it. Tell me all about it. I want to hear about it. Yeah, what happened? Thrills my soul. When I hear of a missionary getting a large gift, when I hear, then I go see them. I want to know who they are. I want to know about it. Tell me about it. My soul, I can't believe this. Look what God's done. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others. And he says this, and to prove the sincerity of your love. To prove the sincerity of your love. The sincerity of our love is not by what we say, but by what we give. Talk's cheap. You can say anything. James said you can say, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye, to give them not those needs for the body. What doth it profit? Be ye warmed and filled does not make them warm and it does not make them full. It's just talk, isn't it? But when you give them a coat and give them a meal, now things have changed. Now we're on a different plane. Now things are different. He says, and to prove the sincerity of your love. I heard somebody make the statement, said, well, if under the law that we had to give 10%, said, how much more should we give under grace? Well, And I think it was said like this. Under the law, they were only required to give 10%. How much more should we give under grace? And that's a good statement, but it ain't right. I got to study it last night. I looked them up. In the Old Testament, you had to give your tithes and a sin offering every time you sin. Now, right there, part of you is broke already, all right? So that sin offering. You got to have a burnt offering, a trespass offering, a meat offering, a peace offering, a thanksgiving offering, and a drink offering. I looked it up, if I got it right, and I think I did. The word offerings mentioned 1,298 times in the Old Testament, and it's only mentioned 72 times in the New Testament. But let me see if I can say it this way. God don't want your offering out of an obligation. He wants it given out of a sense of devotion. And that's what I'm trying to press. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That's why I took so much time this morning. Part of the message has already been in the preliminaries. I wanted you to understand that obligating people to this thing, it doesn't provide fruit. It just doesn't. Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. Well, what's the opposite of that? Well, maybe God don't like a stingy giver. If you're doing something because you got to, you're doing something because you have to, you're doing something out of obligation. See what I'm saying? And so he said, prove the sincerity of your love. Look in verse number 9. He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. How poor was he, preacher? He borrowed a stable to be born in. He borrowed a little lad's lunch. He had to borrow a penny to confound his critics. He had to borrow a boat to preach out of. He borrowed a donkey to ride in Jerusalem on. He borrowed an upper room to have the Last Supper in. He borrowed a rich man's tomb to be laid in. And he even died upon another man's cross. Wasn't even intended for him. He was poor. But he became poor for us. He says, for that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, everything was his. The title deed, the planet Earth and every planet in the universe, and all the stars to go with it, all his. The scripture says that, yet for your sakes he became poor, the poorest of the poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He endured the horrors of Psalm 22 that we might enjoy the blessings of Psalm 23 and one of these days stand in his presence in Psalm 24. And the Lord uses that as an example of what real faith promise giving is. It doesn't originate in the pocketbook. It originates in the heart. He says in verse 10, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do," he says, "but also to be forward a year ago." So this is something very interesting. This is what he said. He said, y'all already made a pledge. It's been a year. He said, you pledged. When they were taking it, when they were making pledges. As a matter of fact, some authors think that the Corinthian church might have been the first one to make a pledge. They were the, but here's what happened. It was, they talked about it, but they hadn't carried through with it. And so the danger, Scripture says it's better not to vow a vow than to vow a vow and break it. Just don't vow it. There's no obligation to make any vows. But now if you vow a vow, you need to fulfill that vow. And that's what he's saying to them. He was encouraging them, to pay their mission pledges. Verse 11, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will." He said, you were all about it as far as wanting to do it. You were willing to do it. He said, all right, just do it. Just perform it. "So that there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." Now notice what he said. "Out of that which ye have." Now I didn't write that. The Holy Spirit wrote that. Some believe that Corinth probably was a pretty wealthy, affluent place. Corinth was on an isthmus, and it had dual ports, one on either side. So it was a seafaring town. It had a lot of commerce. Apparently the people had good jobs, and apparently the Corinthians had a lot of money, just from the way it reads. There's no mention about poverty, financial poverty with them. That's the churches up in Philippi, up in Thessalonica, over in Berea. Those are the churches that are going through the financial crunch. But down in the boot of Greece, down in the bottom, they seem to be doing pretty well. And he said, out of what you have, out of that which ye have. Look what he said in verse number 12. "For if there be first a willing mind." A willing mind. That's where this thing starts. Let me tell you what the Lord said to Moses. When it come to building the tabernacle, the Lord spoke to Moses. He said, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." Willingly, with his heart, take it. This is a free will offering to build my tabernacle. I don't want one stingy penny in it. I want it to be given because the people wanted to give it. And do you remember what happened? He finally said, look, you're going to have to hold off. Lord, that's too much, okay? We've got enough stuff. Time out. We've got enough. They're in the wilderness. Where'd they get all that? Well, God apparently supplied it, didn't he? He said, "For if it first be a willing mind," that's the mind. Then look at what he says about the means. "It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." In other words, God knows our position, and God knows our poverty. God knows every situation. God knows. And God does not require the same of everyone. You think about it, the widow, she gave it all. And it was based not on what she gave, but what she had left. She had nothing left. She gave everything that she had. And even though it was a small pittance in the eyes of the Pharisees, the Lord looked upon it and said, she's given more than everybody because she gave all she had. She's given it all. Well, look what the scripture says in verse number 13. I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. And then he says, and that their abundance also may be a supply for your want. Now, I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. But there could be a time that the Venezuelans become a free nation. They drill an oil well in everybody's front yard, and they go to exporting all over the world. They could become the new Saudi Arabia and Kuwait of the world. They've got more hydrocarbon than Saudi Arabia and Kuwait combined. In 1950, they were the fourth most affluent people on planet Earth. They were number four. Now think about 1950. They were number four in the world. It could be possible that if they were to become a free country and we go under communism, it may be possible that the Venezuelans start sending us money to try to survive on. You say, I don't see that happening, preacher. Well, which part? Which part don't you see happening? I may not can see them coming out of communism, but I sure can see us going into it. I never dreamed we would have lost as much freedom. I never dreamed that I'd stand here a year and a day later and we would be in the shape. A year and a week, I never dreamed. A year and 10 days, I never dreamed that we would have gone as far down as we've gone. Never would have dreamed it. So what's the story, preacher? Right now, we're still okay. I mean, we're feeling it. But we're still okay. But there's some other fellows, they weighed on further down the road. They're under full-fledged communism. They're locked down. They took six zeros off their money. A man that had a million of their dollars woke up the first day of October and he had $1. A million bolivar. They took six zeros off the currency and it became one. You understand what I'm saying? Did you understand that you have no control over that? The Federal Reserve does that. And the Federal Reserve doesn't even answer to us. The Federal Reserve doesn't answer to the Congress. It doesn't answer to the President. It doesn't answer to the Supreme Court. The Federal Reserve, the central bank of the United States, answers to no one. And it's a board of people who make all these decisions as to what money's worth and to what money's free. And the reason the stock market's crashed this week is because they're going to raise interest rates. And that's what it's all about. And we've wiped out all the gains. It's not been this bad since March of 2020. And everything that's been gained in most accounts has been lost. Most of the major indices have lost all their gains for almost 2 years in the past 2 weeks. All because a group of people decided that we don't even elect. They decided that we're going to do this or such with the money. You hear me? Do you understand what I'm saying? We're not as free as you think we are. And they put this central banking system in so that politics could not affect it. But the problem is they're accountable to no one. No one. Not even the president. They're accountable to no one. They do what they want to with our financial situation. What if we woke up tomorrow morning and they took even two zeros off the currency? A $100 bill becomes a $1 bill. Now what would we do? So, well, preacher, what are we going to do? Well, packing up money ain't going to help, is it? After the Civil War, the Confederate money was worth nothing. They wallpapered the walls with it. It was worthless. It wasn't worth anything. Did you know that the federal government right now, they did an exploratory committee and they've released a report about called FedCoin? You've heard of Bitcoin? Did you know that the federal government's looking at a cryptocurrency? You say, oh, that'd be great. No, no. Because if they issue it, they can also put restrictions on it, what you do. How many people here that believe that people on welfare shouldn't take their money and buy beer and cigarettes? How many believe that they shouldn't do that? People on welfare shouldn't buy beer and cigarettes with their money. Everybody here, raise their hand. What if the federal government said, you can't eat at McDonald's because there's too many fat grams? What if the federal government said, with the money, you can't buy firearms, you can't buy ammunition, you can't buy tobacco, alcohol, firearms, you can't buy, what if they said you can't tithe with it? You can't tithe with our money. It can't go to churches because it can't be charitable. This is your money. What if? The United Kingdom, it's called Britcoin. And they've pledged, oh, we're not going to put any restrictions on it. But everybody in Europe, everybody's talking about, but they could. And when you present your card, it'll just say rejected. Nope, you can't buy that with it. And they can reject anything they want to. Do you understand how close we are to that? And there's a group today that would love it. They would totally, totally love it. I don't have time to go into unified income and a lot of the other things that's going on in the world. I don't want ever this pulpit to become a current events platform. That's not what it's for. But hear me when I tell you. The scripture says that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equity. And then I want you to close in verse 15. He said, as it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. According to Exodus 16, I looked it up. When the manna failed, they were to go out and to gather an omer full. So an omer apparently is what you could eat in a day for their family. Go out and get an omer. And it says this about it in Exodus 16, 18. He that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. God stretched it. And just as he allowed it to fall on the earth and come from nothing, they didn't have to work for it, they didn't have to plant it. All they had to do was go out and pick it up. Every morning, go out and pick it up. But if you picked up too much, it'd get worms in it and stink. So you had to trust God for it every day. But for whatever reason, it'd be like that meal barrel. When you go to giving it out to the young ones to get the man out, whatever you gathered, that was enough. It was every day it was enough. There was no lack, there was no want. Every day it was enough. It was just enough. Can I tell you? God supplied just enough. God supplied this congregation with all the extras. And if you haven't gotten anything, it's because you haven't been down there. God has supplied extras over and over and over. Brother Jones says, that's that faith promise given. That's God putting your faith promise back. How many times have you seen it this year? How many, if we were to line up, and I say, all right, line up and tell me how God has blessed you with something above and beyond you expected, and you pledged, and God turned right around, and you got something that you didn't expect. It would take the rest of the day for everybody in here to testify how God's blessed them over and over and over again. You say, well, you can't explain that. I'm not trying to. I'm just believing it. Amen. It works. I've always said that Miss Horton has a calculator in her office, and at the end of the day, she's got a button that says faith, and she pushes the faith button, and it always comes out even. No matter how many times, no matter how much she puts in it negative, she puts a negative, 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 and she hits the faith button, and it'll always come out balanced every single time. I've never got to see that calculator, but I know it exists somewhere. That's the only way you can explain what God's done here. It's the only way you can explain it. You can't explain it through mathematics. You can't explain it with accounting principles. You cannot explain it with debit and credit. You cannot explain what God's done here in this place. And I can't explain to you how a congregation of this size is going to give $11,000 a month to missions. There ain't $11,000 in here on a good day. But God's been faithful. And we need $8,500 to continue what we're doing. And our burden is 10,900 and what did I say? $10,904 is what my burden is. And somebody said, what are you going to do, preacher, if you don't get it? Well, we'll just trust God for the difference. Somehow, some way. All right? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. My emphasis this morning is not on your money, but what he told those folks. He told them in verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind. God wants you, your heart, your soul, your mind, will, emotions. God wants everything you, God wants you first. And then the rest of that will take its place. The rest of those things will find its place. But God wants you first. I've told it many times, but a little boy who had nothing to give came up to the front, got an offering plate off the table, and stood in it. And the preacher said, son, what are you doing? He said, preacher, I don't have anything to give, so I'll just give myself. I don't know how it turned out, but I'd say that boy probably went on to serve God with great success, because that's what's necessary. Getting that offering plate, say, Lord, here's me. And when he gets you, he gets everything you got. He gets everything you got when he gets you. He gets everything. Pocketbook and all. Lord, we're asking for that one that's not saved. Lord, may they disregard any plea that we've made this morning. Lord, their number one need is to trust Christ as their Savior and receive you as Lord today. Lord, I'm praying for those that are saved, that you would help us, Lord, to surrender our hearts, surrender our lives. And then, Lord, all these other things will find their rightful place. Lord, would you help us now in Christ's name? Amen and amen. R.R. and Landon Brothers and one more. Chase, all right, let's take sections here. And Chase, you take that right one. And R.R., you take the middle one. And get you some off there. Get you a stack there, okay? And then William, you take that section right there. And then Colin, you take this section over here. Hand these out. And go ahead and do that if you will. I'm going to read it in your hearing. By faith, trusting God will replenish that which I give from my existing income, I pledge to give blank dollars per month, notice per month, for the next 12 months to fulfill the Great Commission through the 2022 Faith Promise Missions efforts of the Anchor Baptist Church and Ministries. I understand that this pledge will be used to support existing missionaries as well as determining the support of new missionaries in the coming year, and that it is imperative that I make every effort to fulfill it. If you want us to track what you give, and a lot of people say, what do I give to Faith Promise? Well, unless you put your name on it, we don't know. So if you want it to be tracked, put it on there. If you want to remain anonymous, that's fine. But what you do is you take this card and it's perforated. And if you'll fold it right down that line in the center, this year they're a little flimsy. But if you'll fold it right down the middle, and I think I'd fold it twice. I think I'd fold it frontwards and backwards. And if you do that, if you fill it out, and fill out both of them, all right? It'll say, keep this portion for your record. On the bottom one, on the top, it'll say, fill out and place in the Faith Promise collection plate. Now, a lot of you are having trouble tracking what you give. If you want to take this little card here and write January through December down on it, and every month you just write on there what you've done, or you check it. You check it. And that way you can track it. Because for some of you, if you don't sign it, we don't know what you gave, okay? So it's hard for Ms. Horton to keep up with it. So if you can track your Faith Promise giving, it'd be great if you can track it yourself, okay? And so the top one, you fill out, and then the bottom one, you fill out and keep, all right? And so where'd my ushers go? They're all, where'd they scatter to? All right, we got plates here. Let's see how many plates we got. We got one. I'm short of plates. See any plates back there? Yeah, they're back on the, they're on the back. I need four plates. All right, everybody grab a plate. Excuse me?
Your batteries are about to go dead.
My batteries are dead. All right, well, I'll stay right here on this one right here. All right, so I'll stay right close. You got four plates. All right, same ushers. Where'd they go? Where'd Ara go? Did he leave? All right, well, give me those three up. My battery's died. How about on the pulpit? Am I back on? Okay. All right, so fold those if you want to, or just turn it upside down, lay it in the plate. I'd turn the lights out if it wasn't daylight. There's no pressure, no pressure. And you say, well, I'm not even going to turn one back in. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Okay, that's fine. Also, to our missionaries and folks abroad, Ms. Horton's in the office right now if you want to call. If you want to text RR, that'll be fine. You can text me, but I'd rather you do one of the ones that deal with it, okay? Because they know, and I'd just soon not know. How about that? Okay, who does, who don't, what you give. I don't care. Don't want to know, okay? And so, all right. So I'm going to get you to do those same ones that you had. Go take it. Take those up, please, all the way through. Guys, if you'll do that, each one take a section. There you go. Joel, you take that section, and Colin, you're taking this one, and over there. There you go. So we've got four taking up faith promise pledges, all right? And again, for our visitors, please feel no obligation to do this. Please don't do that, all right? And even for our congregation, it does not make you a lesser somebody not to give to faith promise. It doesn't. But I believe God will bless you for it. I do that. But I also believe that if you pledge it and don't pay it, there's some consequences to it. Okay? I've had people tell me that too. All right? And so, I want to tell you a story. I had a man who was a millionaire, self-made. I'm talking about self-made millionaire. And he got in partnership with a fella. Boom. He ended up bankrupting to the point that they were going to take everything he owned, his car, they were going to take everything he owned. I mean, they bankrupting, lost everything. And he said to me, I said, Brother Orville, I said, man, you've given away a lot through the years. I said, if you just had some of that back now. And he said, Preacher, that's all I've got left. He said, they've got the rest of it. He said, all I've got is what I gave. Now, there's a sermon in that. But you know what I saw God do? I saw him hit as low as probably anybody in this room's ever been. And I saw God raise him right back up. I've seen God do it. And you know what? he was so broke he couldn't do nothing. And yet now God's blessed him. And you know what he's doing? He's giving it again. Just like he used to. But he went all the way to the bottom, and God brought him back up. And he made the statement. He said, I'll plow a mule and grub a side of a bank. I'll plow a mule. Said, I started out plowing one. Said, I'll plow one, but I ain't a compromising. And he didn't. And God blessed him for it. So I say hallelujah. All we get, one of these days, if they take the currency away, if this thing, all we'll have is what we've given away. So we better invest while we can, haven't we? Better invest while we can.